We just figure it's two hoops and a hollow down, you know, someplace where they got some of this Kentucky brew going. But up in Minnesota, all these Swedes are very proud that they're just from Minnesota. And that's something to be proud from, isn't it? Proud about, rather. You've heard the old chestnut that when the Swedes came to America, they came over on the same ship with a whole load of mules. And they had the chance, you know, of going to Minnesota, Missouri, and so the mules had first chance, and they took Missouri, and of course the Swedes took whatever was left over, and they took Minnesota. Well, we don't say that the mules took the better choice. By the way, I think some of the most beautiful countries in Missouri, and we always talk about these people from Missouri, they never catch on and all this, and yet, how many of you folks have ever been down in the lake country of Missouri? You ever been down through there? Let's see your hands. You ever been down in Missouri? Oh, you've missed some of the most... People always are going out to the Rockies, out around Caddo Springs in that country, or they go up into the lake country of Minnesota, all the country of a thousand lakes, or they come out and see our smog out in California. I don't know why they don't go down to Missouri and down in the Ozarks. Is that a pretty good plug, Joe, for Missouri? You ever been down in the Lake of the Ozarks? You like it, huh? That's where I went for my honeymoon. You think it'd be a pretty good place? Yeah, try it for size sometime. Pretty good. Well, we'll change the subject in a hurry here. Arlie, come on up and give us your personal testimony of what Christ means to you.
Well, I'm from Minnesota, and I think Minnesota and Colorado are my favorite states as far as beauty is concerned, but I haven't been very far, just sort of the line in between. So, I don't know. Well, some of you probably heard my testimony last year, I don't know. But I'm from Lester Prairie, Minnesota. That's why I only have Minnesota here, because the rest wouldn't fit on here. Lester Prairie. Anyhow, I was brought up in a Baptist home. My parents were fine Christian parents, and they taught me to love the Lord, but I made a decision in the church there at in my hometown in South Dakota, and it didn't really stick with me. And as I went, we moved from there and into Wisconsin and then to Minnesota, and I sort of lived a good life. And, you know, I was working my way into heaven, and didn't drink or smoke, and I went to church on Sundays, and even went to Sunday school. In fact, I even taught a Sunday school class. But then I got to college, and in my junior year, Campus Crusade for Christ, with Jack Patterson as one of the speakers, came to Hamline University. And when I came in late, and all I got to hear was Jack talk. So I heard him speak, and I realized I'd better do something about the decision I had made when I was a small child. So Jack helped me, and with the grace of God, I started getting into the Word and started growing. And then I graduated from Hamline, and last year I coached basketball. I was in a great big school out in South Dakota, Hayti, South Dakota. There were five teachers in high school, 68 students, and I coached football and basketball and track, and besides teaching four subjects. I was a math major, and I taught world history, and yeah, so, but I really enjoyed it out there, and I just tried to live a life in front of the boys, and tried to teach them good sportsmanship, and I never had the privilege of leading any of the boys to the Lord, but I had many of the boys and their parents come up to me after the season was over and tell me that I had been a help in their life. And so I just prayed to God that I planted the seed there, and maybe I can water a little, and some other people will be watering, and someone will go in the future and reap. I feel the Lord has led me into coaching, and about the time I start getting discouraged and think, well, maybe I should be doing something else, well, I'll turn on the radio and they'll say, the high school is America's largest missionary field. So that sells me on it. Thank you, Bob.
I'll say amen to that. I'm glad for a fellow like that, because oftentimes we feel that when you become a Christian, you really get down to business, and you got to go into what we call full-time Christian service. But brothers, there are guys in full-time service. There he is there. But there's only 55 students, or 65. How many of those were fellows?
About 30.
30. Man, you...
I swear they should have mentioned my record.
Yeah, did you win any games?
Yeah, we won one in football.
Attaboy, Arlie. What school are you going to coach you next year? Where are you going to be next year?
Lester Prairie.
Lester Prairie. Going to go back to your hometown? Going to coach there?
Basketball and baseball. Not
well, that's good. How many of you are planning to be teachers, the Lord willing? Let's see your hands. Pick them up. Good. All right. Well, just figure that whatever you majored in, that's probably what you won't teach. Man, the first semester I taught in high school, the chemistry teacher took sick. I didn't know anything about chemistry, but a big smell and big scabs on the ceiling, you know, where the experiments went bad. And I taught for a whole semester something I didn't know anything about. I took it in high school. All I did was just keep one lesson ahead of the kids. That's all I knew. And Dave Brown, I think we ought to have a testimony from you tonight. Dave is, well, he's one of these boys that's been around the NAS for a long time, along with Lauren and our business manager and some of the rest of these old timers, you know. But Dave has been going to school in L.A. He's been working in the Japanese Presbyterian Church there in L.A., Dave? Korean. Right. His heart is very much towards the Orient. Dave, come on up. I'm putting you on the spot here, but I know you've got a testimony. Hebron is a young fellow who's down to business. He's all wrapped up in athletics. Now, if he wasn't so much going for the mission field, I'm sure he'd be heading for the coaching field. But, Dave, a word of testimony to this conference game, would you? Good to have you here, man.
It's good to be here. The last time I was at the Glen was in 1953. We had a seminar, NAV seminar over at Star Ranch then. And they were just looking over the Glen and thought perhaps that Billy Graham would be operating it and owning it, and the NAVs would be operating it. So it's been a long time, but the Lord has made it possible for me to work in Yuma, Colorado this summer, a recreation job there. So I'm just passing through for a couple of days, and I'll be looking forward to meeting some of you and being acquainted with you this next day or two. Coaching is something that I'm particularly interested in. I have taught in a Christian school in Los Angeles, and there I did see the relationship of the Christian life to athletics. Through the Word and through experiences, living with the kids and seeing their needs. I did have the opportunity of playing football at three different colleges and universities, and so I got well-rounded that way. I started out at the University of Washington, and then after I finished my service career, I was at Wheaton College for a year there, and then I finished up playing 2 years of football for Los Angeles State College. The thing that has perhaps been the biggest inspiration to my life, and perhaps the biggest help, has been the opportunity of meeting, contacting, working with, living with, praying with, studying with international students. For the last year and a half, some of us in the University Christian Fellowship at Los Angeles City and State Colleges have had the opportunity there of contacting kids from many countries. This has been a real joy as we've accepted these kids into our group. Some of them are coming to Christ, some of them have come to Christ, and we're hoping that some will continue to come. in the future years. This has helped me to get an understanding of other people's cultures, how they think. And of course, in many ways, it's basically the same way as we think. But to be able to share Jesus Christ, person of Christ, with them, I think has been my biggest thrill. I've thought in terms of this for several years. Through Bob Finley's work and others, I've always been inspired if I could have my opportunity to work with international students. And so we've had kids in our group from Lebanon, from Jordan, from Peru, Afghanistan, Korea. And it's been a real joy just to see the Lord work. It seems that we feel that sometimes that we're a big instrument, and I could be accused of that very thing. Well, it's the human instrument, that's true. But I have seen this year a boy come from Jordan. He has a Roman Catholic mother and a Muslim father, Hadi Batar by name. And just simply the operation of the Holy Spirit in his life has brought him to Jesus Christ. And so he is doing something that's unheard of. He's studying the Bible. He's reading the Bible. And he asked me to come up to his house about every week and just pray with him. And so this has been a real thrill to me. Glad to be with you tonight.
Thank you, Dave. One of the works that you should know about, gang, if you're not acquainted, is International Students. It's called... I wrote it out so I can see if I can remember. It's called Focus. It has two names, one under which they sort of raise their money and their financial, and the other is the name before their students, so that these foreign students don't tie the two together at all, make them feel like it's a financial deal. But it's the fellowship of college and university students. Fellowship of overseas college and university students. And how many do we have coming in every year, Dave, or how many do we have here in this country from overseas? 50,000 foreign students in America. And InterVarsity has a work among them, but International Students, or FOCUS, under Bob Finley. Bob Finley was intercollegiate boxing champion in the University of Virginia. A very dynamic personality. Dynamic in the sense that Jesus Christ is the passion of his life and heart. And the Lord laid upon his heart all these wonderful students. Leaders. They're the leaders. They're coming here for their training. And let's present to them the claims of Christ, not another religion. If you're going to compare religions, why, ethically and otherwise, why they say, well, we're just as good as you. But the transformed life, and then to see, which we had time, just so Dave could tell you some of the approaches that they use. Sometimes it's a long, long process, isn't it, Dave? You've just got to live it. And sometimes you think you're just going to sow and sow and sow, and you're never going to reap. But the payoff is when they do come to find Christ. And so go about finding out all you can. Get a hold of their address. Their headquarters are in Washington, D.C. Bob Finley and all of his cohorts. It's a wonderful movement of the Lord. Well, I guess we better sing. Number 24. Writing. I don't care about writing. And my handwriting is atrocious. I'd make a good bank clerk or something, because I can't read my own handwriting, you know. And I guess that's what you have to do, just scrawl and you get a job in a bank. But Dick said, Bob, what I'm trying to do with businessmen, why don't you do with the servicemen? And for about the last 6 or 8 years, he's been getting out this weekly letter called Perspective to Businessmen. It is tremendous. Goes out to 3,000 or 4,000 top executives. I heard last year that it's the first envelope that Eisenhower opens up on Monday mornings at his desk in the White House. Is this Perspective? It's a challenge to Christian businessmen from a pastor's study. Yeah, it's really great. And I've been talking to Dick about how we could really follow up all these fellows. They're in ships and they're in bases and they're in Germany and They're all over the place. What can you do to help them? A little Bible study, but a lot of them are not interested in studying the Bible. A lot of them, they don't care about memorizing Scripture, and a lot of these dear chaplains, they're anti-navigators. They don't know why, but they're just anti. What can we do to help them? And so, through Dick's challenge that night, flying back on the airplane, I thought, well, it's at least worth an experiment. So I got a group of businessmen on the West Coast who would guarantee to finance the thing. That's always a good thing to do. To get some money to do it. And so we started out. We started out with 160 fellas. And started writing this little old letter. We call it the challenge. And a couple weeks while we'll be celebrating our first anniversary writing the thing. Boy, I write one of those things every week. Practically out of gas after 52 weeks. But the thing has grown, so there's around 800 servicemen now on the weekly letter. And of course, the more it grows, the more expensive it costs, but the Lord has supplied. It doesn't cost the fellows anything. And it's real great just to get the reactions. Every week we get letters from fellows concerning problems and what it's meant in their life, and the real rapport with the chaplains. And through that, of course, I've kept pretty close to Dick for help and counsel. And so about 2 months ago, he asked me if I'd pray about taking his Bible classes that he has in Los Angeles. Dick has now left the church to work full-time with businessmen out of Washington, D.C. And he has these Bible classes 3 times a week. They meet in a neutral place in a restaurant, a cafeteria, on tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. I'll be out in the Crenshaw area at Entree's Cafeteria, a very nice cafeteria. And up in the balcony, they have a private dining room. And there were, like last week, about 80 or 90 men there. About 40% of them will be unsaved. But they're hungry. They're interested. They're just about all on the executive level. When you begin to see their cars drive up about 10 minutes to 7, you realize that they've got some of the wherewithal to do things with. And then next Thursday night, I'll be speaking to just a group of automobile salesmen. You can't get in unless you're a salesman of automobiles. And most of them are in the used car sales angle. The guy who is the chairman of it, his name is Gwen Bacon. He has one of the largest Chevrolet dealerships in Southern California, and he has it in Glendale. And Gwen, he was just sort of a cool number, a casual kid who went to Southern Cal, and that's usually the way UCLA describes a guy from Southern Cal. But he married a girl who loved the Lord, and that often helps, you know. And she got him interested in church. And whereas he was just an ordinary automobile salesman who was more interested in a deal than anything else, now he's a young fellow who really loves the Lord and puts him first in his business and in everything else. And he's sort of the chairman of this thing. And a couple weeks ago when I was there on Thursday night, why, there are about 40 of these sharp cookies. And boy, they dress like a bunch of dudes, you know. And they're standing around when you walk into the home, a real swanky home out in Van Nuys. And they got their pipes and their cigars, and every club you could think of is on the lapel of every guy, you know. Man, I never saw so many club pins, you know, because that's part of being a salesman, to belong to the right club, you know. They're all belongers and joiners, because they figure that if they belong to the right club and the right church, why, that's going to forgive them a lot of things that they do on the lot, I guess. But finally, after they stand around and chew the fat for a while and little sort of religious pinochle, why, they sit down and decide, well, we got this fellow Foster here, and he's going to give to us a concept. Now, this is the pattern. He doesn't get up to preach at you. Gwen just says that Bob Foster owns a plumbing business over here on North Hoover, and he's just a local yokel like the rest of us fellas. And tonight, because he loves the Bible and he loves the Lord and he spent some time in it, he's going to present to us a concept. And that's your introduction. Well, to us, that terminology is very strange. But you see, these fellows, The great majority of them, I think the night I was there, around 40, and about 25 or 8 of them were absolute pagans. I mean, it wasn't just the way they acted, but they just are. So I got up to present a concept. Well, I've been asked if I present the concept of belief. What it means to believe. Well, you imagine standing before 40 used car salesmen and talk to them about belief. Well, one of the first things you got to do when you believe is to be honest. And so, you got to be honest with yourself and honest with somebody else. And here you're talking to a bunch of Los Angeles County shysters, you know. And boy, if there's ever a racket in L.A. that's it's touch and go, it's the used car market out in L.A. But boy, the Lord just gave real liberty, you know, as we just presented this concept of belief. And of course, I started from where they were, and then came out of my own testimony, and then out of the Bible, and just began to give them the Word of God. And you're only allowed 20 minutes. After 20 minutes, why, Gwen begins to wave his arm in the back of the room. That's the end of you. And then, do you have any questions, fellas? And brother, do they have questions? They haven't learned in a religious meeting when you ask for questions, you're not supposed to say anything, you know. And they can't present it in orally. It's got to be written out, and they all have 3x5 cards. And you know the first card that came up to me? They're just sitting around real formally in a living room out there in Van Nuys. The first card that came up to me was, Mr. Foster, earlier in your talk on the concept of belief, you made this statement, and he quoted a little statement I made. He said, would you explain how I can believe and how I know that my belief has been accepted by God? That was the first question I had the privilege of answering. And well, that's right down our line, isn't it? And so next Thursday night will be my privilege to stand again before these men and present the claims of Christ. And then Wednesday morning over in Burbank, they have the same type of an operation. Arnie Peterson, who was president of Folarola, he makes these collapsible baby buggies and strollers and collapsible little high chairs for the kitchen. And he makes one of these outdoor steak fryers, aluminum deal. Well, Arnie Peterson is president of that. And what a joy to stand before these fellows. I might mention that a week from next Saturday night, or 2 weeks from next Saturday night, I guess it is, I've been invited to speak to a barbecue out in Van Nuys in the home of some fellow, I don't know, he's a big-time operator in L.A., and it'll be nothing but executives. And Gwen Bacon told me that most of the fellows, their income ranges from somewheres from $20,000, he'd be, I suppose, a small fry, up into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And these men are all coming to this home. They have a heated pool and they have a badminton court there in their backyard for this barbecue. But he said the amazing thing is, although they come out for the fun, yet they come because they want to know about reality. And he said, Bob, he said, when you get up to talk to them, don't pull your punches. Don't preach at them. But just lay the simple claims of Jesus Christ. And so we thank the Lord for Dick Hoverson and for the privilege that we have of entering into his ministry that he has begun. Dick is the one who started this Hollywood Club, really, along with several others, but he was really the instigator and the guy who kept it rolling. He got his finger out of it. But every week there's a group of people in Hollywood who meet. They're down to business. You may have heard a lot of stories about it. The Jane Russell type doesn't control it. They come. But a real godly group of people there in Hollywood control it, and their concern is that those in the movie industry might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I won't have anything to do with that. That's controlled just by those within the Hollywood system. I trust you will pray. Doss asked me to mention it for your prayer consideration. And I do believe, as Doss mentioned earlier in the conference, that it's going to open up new doors and new avenues of ministry with a group of people in the United States that do want to know how to get in the Word of God. A lot of these businessmen, they want to know how to study the Bible on their own. And and how to begin to dig for themselves. They won't go to church, but they will come to a Bible class like this. It's called the Master's Men. And, of course, they don't know what that means. That just sounds like, you know, Kiwanis or Rotary or Lions or something else, the Master's Men. But the format is just a little bit different. It's a real joy for us to have on the Glen Eleanor Miller. And I know that you've come to know her. You've walked into the office there. And we love to have Eleanor sing for us. And before Doss brings the message of the evening, Eleanor's going to bring us her testimony and song. Eleanor Miller?